Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And as, you know, action is ending tonight, you know, I'm here in the studio tonight as Mike and I are going to record our new special teams podcast after the show. Now is a time where myself and Tyshirt and Lee DeLapp are all arguing over what we can put on the television sets now that everything is done.
Now that the games are done.
Yeah, now it's done. And the big thing is that, you know, we got the four TVs. So I said, okay, what about these two? And I said, we got Roadhouse on one. And we have Yesterday on the other one. It's not co-play. It's not Fix You. And I said, then the other one.
That's not one. I mean, that's not a visual movie.
What is it? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, it is. He's got the big songs at the end, and he's singing.
Yeah, yeah, but there's not all sorts of special effects and fights and whatever else. That's what you need when you're in the studio with no sound.
Yeah, no, but you know, to have one, you know, I kind of like Yesterday.
I'm not saying it's a bad film for the sake of the film, but. Just saying, you know, you want the smorgasbord of visuals. That's not it.
Well, that's okay because the other TV, one of the TVs, they're going back and forth. They're turning them on. It's going back and forth between The Firm and Mega Python versus Gatoroid, which is Debbie Gibson and Tiffany. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, they're going back and forth. Right? Do I want to watch The Firm? Do I want to put
show,
on
Tiffany?
Yeah, I want to put on Mega Python versus Gatoroid. You know, which one do we want? So that's the big debate to pull the curtain back for you going on.
I almost
right now.
Feel like we need to catch up with her at some point.
Oh, we did. It's been a couple of years since we talked to her. Since we had Tiffany
it's been
on.
A minute.
We had Tiffany and Weird Al on. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh yeah. Hey, it's Al.
Hey, it's
some of the greatest hits. For a quick moment, we had Dan Wojcicki, LA Times, on last hour. Just want to give a nod to our buddy, his colleague, and I worked with him on Sundays, friend of the show, Bill Plaschke, wrote an article for the LA Times talking about his experience actually having COVID-19. So it's a good read, a good look through, and, you know, storytelling as only Plaschke can do with the random references. When you describe it as LeBron James sitting on your chest, you know, you've really set the tone. So good thoughts to him and all those that have battled it or are out there working through it and trying to keep the country moving. We love you.
And Bill Plaschke is my second best friend. It's how he
that's
likes
right.
to be introduced when he comes on the show.
Right.
You know, you're my best friend. And he says, can I be your second best friend? So we say it that way. It's my second best friend.
I reached out to him tonight. He's on the mend. Enjoying, you know, getting to watch some Dodger baseball and the like. But, you know, just always a reminder, it touches close to home. Bill and I keep in touch, and, you know, we have him on the show time to time as the Los Angeles stuff warrants. He's got to be on the mend if we're going to get a Lakers-Clippers series because we'll need to have him in to, you know, inject some flames to that. So, but his article is up as well as the profile on Jimmy Goldstein from Dan Wojcicki.
All right, very good. Get better, Bill. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Great stuff. Thanks, Mike. Today, there was a shocking story out of Dallas and one that was a really good story out of Dallas. And Jerry Jones is at the front of both of these stories. The first one involves the national anthem debate, which shocked me because I don't understand what Jerry Jones is trying to say. He was asked about what he was going to do and what the Cowboys are going to do this fall when it comes to the national anthem, where most of the players are going to kneel. They're going to kneel for Black Lives Matter. They're going to kneel to support black men who are not treated the way they should be in police custody. This is something that's been going on for a long time. Many players who don't want to kneel will kneel in support of their teammates. This is no longer really a controversy. This is not the hot button topic it was 2 years ago. This is now in a changed world. Yes, if your players want to kneel, players should be able to kneel without having to worry about getting any flack on it. And if players want to kneel to support them, great. If players don't want to kneel, that's kind of okay,
those
too.
Those are the guys that are getting the flag.
Right, but that's kind of okay, too, as we've seen. Hey, if you don't kneel, you have reasons why, you talk about it. This is the choice, to kneel or not to kneel. You can't say, oh, I'm pro-kneeling, and then say, oh, but why are you not kneeling? That's not right. No, it's for either person to be able to do. You can kneel, you cannot kneel. This is not really that big a deal, but Jerry Jones, in talking about it today, suddenly turned it into one. Try to make sense of what he's saying.
The key word is a word called grace. That was then, 2 years ago. This is now. We have had very, very sensitive times. I have nothing to prove as far as where I'm standing with the flag and where the Cowboys stand. I have nothing to prove regarding my players and my support of our players. What I do want to show and want us all to be a part of is a word called grace. Not only grace in our actions, but grace in our understanding where they're coming from.
And I also just watched the That Was Then, This Is Now, the Estevez movie from 85 with the kid from the program and the one from NYPD Blue. So I watched That Was Then, This Is Now, figured that was a good way for me to start this statement. I confused you at all.
I start singing I'm Still Standing.
I'm Still Standing. I don't know why Jerry Jones is being this cagey and this wrapped up in grace and what he's doing. If he's not going to kneel, okay. All right, because don't wrap it up in, oh, we got to make sure the team does. Let the players do what they want to do. All right, it doesn't. Let you do what you want to do. The players are going to do what they want to do. And no one's going to come to your doorstep the next day and go, what the hell are you doing? I mean, I know Jerry Jones knows President Trump. He also has talked to other former presidents. He's talked to other owners. What do you think about what's going on? And they have to be telling him, dude, what do you mean? The players are going to kneel. Let them kneel. They're going to kneel, and we're going to go play football, and it's not going to be a story. I don't get what you're talking about. Are you worried about lesser television ratings? Are you worried about people are going to say, if you don't want to kneel, okay. If the Dallas Cowboys kneel and Jerry Jones is in his box and he's not kneeling, no one's going to sit here and say, okay, well, headline number one, first day of the NFL, Jerry Jones not kneeling with... No one's going to do that. But yet he's playing it out like this is still a really big deal. And as a result, he's doing the worst possible thing. And that's turning this into a story again. Now it's, wait a minute, Jerry Jones, why don't you want to kneel? I don't understand. Why don't you want to kneel? What's going on with this? Why would you want to make this into a thing? Why would you want to make this about the ego Jerry Jones has? Why would you want to make this about you? I don't understand why, but yet he's determined to do it because, and this is where I shake my head and go, come on, Jerry Jones, be better than this. If you want to fold in your not wanting to kneel and get the players to do something that you want them to do so you wind up looking right, that, come on, man, be a better person than that. Just own it. If you don't want to kneel, own it. If you want to kneel, own it, but let the players do what they want to do.
Yeah, and he had to address it because it's been talked about for months of, well, Jerry hasn't said anything, and remember his stance when this all first started. So a couple of new players called him out, you know, waiting for a public response. So this was his first foray and first check-in on the microphone as we get to the new league year, right? He's been silent to where you and I a couple of weeks ago were wondering, hey, when are we going to hear from him? I hope he's okay. Figured we would have gotten a YouTube series out of him with some cooks or something like he was Selena Gomez. But we got nothing until now. I got Selena Gomez into the show. Point for me. But you now have this long statement that really is a whole lot of nothing. I know he had to speak on it, just check a box, if nothing else. But it's a behind closed door. And even then, you could have said it far more eloquently and with a brief statement of, it's between me and my team. We'll see you on the, you know, for game one. And hopefully we'll have a crowd. And then that's a Vegas misdirect because then you start talking about the crowd and what you'll have, you know, there in Dallas for game attendance. So you could have gone that way. Instead, it's still a, all right, so you have a plan? Do you not have a plan? Is it still in motion? What are you going to do versus the team? And I think you're spot on. The team's going to do what it's going to do. And Jerry's either in the owner's box or he does as he's done in the past and takes the knee, you know, as that symbolic gesture with the team. Either way, we won't be hearing any statements like we had last time. As jumbled as this is, there's really no critiquing it other than going, I don't know what he just said, but okay.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Just do your thing. I don't know why you'd want to do this, Jerry Jones. Now, the other thing that he talked about today, I love the idea. In the days preceding, we've seen a couple of teams say we're planning on playing without fans this year. Lambeau Field has already said, hey, Packers should be ready to play without fans. But Jerry Jones says, oh, no, Cowboys, we're going to have some people.
We've got some adjustments to make. We're going to make them with enthusiasm, and we're going to make them with can do. The Dallas Cowboys plan on playing all of our football games, and we plan on playing it in front of our fans.
And that is a great idea, because as long as you do it the right way, I think everybody should have fans. If you can have fans where you can say, you know what, let's let sports show the way here. We're going to open our stadium, and we're going to have 20% of our tickets sold so everybody can social distance the right way. Everybody wears masks when they get into a crowded area with somebody. You probably don't have to wear your mask while you're watching the game because you're far enough away from people. But to do it like that and have fans, yeah. Let's let sports and let the Cowboys and other teams show everybody the way of this is how you have crowds. Because I like that better than Smash Mouth in front of, you know, thousands of people saying, oh, it doesn't matter what we do. Let's do songs. Yeah, wait, now we're an all-star.
Getting that Sturgis reference in.
You know, because all that's doing is you're putting a bunch of people that don't believe in social distancing together where they can pass COVID-19 to each other. I mean, that's just stupid. But people, because everybody who does that and goes to that concert doesn't care about social distancing or wearing masks, because if you did, you wouldn't do that. So let's show everybody the right way to do it. Let's have fans in. Let's show you can do it. We can have 15,000 people in a 50 or 60,000 seat stadium, and we can do it safely. And people are on their own behavior to wear, just like you're going into a store. All right, it's the same philosophy of, hey, I'm going to go into a store to buy something. I'm wearing my mask. Everybody else is wearing a mask, and I'm going to go and do my thing and not touch my face and not shake hands with anybody. It's just how you do it every day, right? We have to go. You want to go to a game? You have the right rules? Yeah. Let sports show the way for that. That's an awesome thing. I love this idea from Jerry Jones, and I hope that other teams, when they get comfortable with it, allow fans to come. Because as soon as one team does it, if, say, the Dallas Cowboys do it week one, let's say that goes on, you're going to see all the other sports say, yep, we can have fans. And we're gonna have it next week, because that'll happen really fast, because suddenly this is money in our pocket. This is not going to be a 3 or 4 week thing. This is going to be, hey, we're going to have fans. It's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to do it. We're going to have it. That's the worst part for Major League Baseball, is that if the NFL played preseason games and they are able to do it and it worked out, baseball could say, we could have fans. But baseball's having enough trouble right now with COVID-19 and their teams, so it doesn't look like, it's not a great optic for them to say, yeah, we're still figuring out with our teams, but hey, fans can show up. And that doesn't work out well for them. But if football can do it, oh, go do it, man. Show everybody you can. People can go to college football games and show we can do it the right way and still kind of get back to what the new normal is going to be, but we do it the right way and the smart way. And there's nothing wrong with doing things the smart way.
Well, I've been arguing all along that baseball could have done it as a reward for their season ticket holders, right? Here's your catered meal, and you have your section or your box or whatever, and that's it. And then you disinfect, lather, rinse, repeat. That way you keep that goodwill with folks that normally pump money into your system, right? And it's a special event, right? Maybe you got 500 people spread around the ballpark. Same thing, but as we go to football, I think it's the Ravens. We're saying 7,500 people. I think that's down from their original estimate of 15,000. But either way, still planning for, all right, how do we get people into the facility so we at least have a little bit of that fan interaction and that enthusiasm that can't be pumped in quite so easily? Sorry, Falcons. It was fake and you got caught. But it's just the idea of, all right, let's be innovative, right? Let's be bold but smart. And it's what we preached, and certainly I've been yelling about here on the station, as you have, and across the network, of life moves forward, right? We got to find best practices. There are going to be instances where you say, okay, this can't work. But that's not how we operate as people, and certainly this country. It's normally the, all right, how do we innovate? How do we move forward, and how do we find best practices? Steal from Fight Island, steal from the WWE, from the MLS's back tournament that just finished. Baseball talking about maybe a bubble for the playoffs, so you can, in theory, stop what happened thus far with the Marlins and the Cardinals and what blew holes into all these schedules. And you know, you saw with Cleveland, a couple of guys getting out on the town in Chicago. Plesac, what are you doing? Clevinger, you're killing me.
His teammates hate him. The Indians all hate him.
No, but that's just it. You've disrupted, you know, that social contract because everybody else bought in saying, look, we'll get paid. The game will go on. We'll have our couple months. We'd already been home for 4 months. Now we have we play our shortened season. Maybe we get a shot at a title with the expanded playoffs and finish. And guys, you know, blew holes in that. Now, for the Marlins, it looks like one big rope-a-dope because they're playing well in the games that they've actually played. We'll see how many of their arms hold up when they've got to make these games up towards the end. But I like the idea of fans getting into the stands. You know, we've seen innovation. Denver had those cool sanitizer mists that they got to walk through to get out on the practice field. Whatever it takes, right? You know, if you got to put those in at the limited stations that you're opening up to allow fans to come through, I'll donate a couple of those scanner thermometer things for just beaming at people's heads if that's going to help move the needle here, man. Let's go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. AutoZone is America's number one battery destination. No matter what battery problems you're dealing with, you can find your battery solution at AutoZone. AutoZone offers free battery testing so that you don't spend money on something you don't actually need. AutoZone offers free battery charging if you're simply in need of a fresh charge. That's pretty cool. AutoZone has more ways for you to shop in your battery needs, like same-day pickup, in-store, or curbside. Next time you're having starter trouble, start at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Coming up next.
It's your fault.
A big observation about hand sanitizers. And you're going to be surprised at who the number one trending topic in Twitter is right now in the United States.
I'm very, very excited about it.
No, it's not you, Tim Tebow.
I'm so excited.
Not you. It's next. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Live from the Geico Studios. And surprisingly, the number one trending topic on Twitter still tonight at this moment is Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney. He has not signed with anybody, but on the heels of the Cowboys signing Everson Griffin, 1 year, $6 million. Guy's been pretty good for a decade. Jadeveon Clowney, what's going to happen for him? Where is he? How has nobody signed him yet? And at this point, you have to look at an alternative storyline than the defect. He wants more money than anybody's going to give him. So he's staying out until someone decides to give him a lot of money. That storyline works for a while, and then it turns into something else. Because in the beginning of free agency, all right, you ask for a lot, but then you realize very quickly what your market is. And you then decide, do I want to sign for a little bit less money? Do I want to wait it out? And that's the strategy you go through. Nobody wants to be out at this point. Nobody. Nobody wants to be out on the street without a team when you're teams that are going to training camp are going to wind up working out at some point, getting through things. There will, knock wood, there will be less injuries because there's less games. So it'll be less injuries that you will be dealing with from different varieties. So there will be less openings for players. But bottom line is, if no one's going to give Jadeveon Clowney the $18 million he wanted a few months ago, no one's going to give it to him now. Certainly not after Everson Griffin got $6 million. Nobody wants to be out without a job right now. Clowney knows this. He knows what his value is. So the fact that it's gone this long, do you really think he's waiting to the last possible minute and someone's going to say, fine, we have it for you. Here's $17 million for this year. No one's going to do that because no one knows what kind of season we're going to have. Are we going to have the whole season? Are we going to play? Is it going to be stops, starts? What's it going to be? I'm going to give Jadeveon Clowney $17 million for just this year. They know how the business of the NFL works. Clowney, his representation, everybody does. So at this point, I have to say, does he really want to play this year? And for whatever reason, because of COVID-19, he's not getting the contract offer he wants. Whatever. Does he really want to play this year? Is he going to opt out? Is he going to stay out and hope to get a big contract next year? That's kind of where I'm at right now, because the other part only made sense to a point, and now we're past that point.
Yeah, I think it's just the curiosity, right? COVID-19 cuts both ways on this one. For Clowney, it can be a bit of a bargaining chip of, look, you got to make it worth my while. And the idea that he could sit around and wait for, not that you're hoping that anybody gets sick or a team gets in a bad position. Well, let's face it, once guys are fully engaged in camp, we have injuries that happen that maybe suddenly there's something that reeks of desperation to get you in. Last year played for the Seahawks, at $8 million? The year before made $12 million with the Texans as he finished off that rookie deal. And rolled through. So obviously looking for another big payday, somewhere around $30 million in career earnings at this point. But it's just that curious play. From the team perspective, they don't have a lot of money, most anyway, and they've committed to where their teams are. You know, Griffin being able to get $6 million, I'd be surprised if you'd see much more spent than that, right? You're talking about Cam Newton having to take a minimum deal with a bunch of incentives for his run with the Patriots to come, whatever that becomes. But for Clowney, what's he worth in your overall win total, right? When we talk about what players bring to the table, does he add an extra half win? Is that we take him from 8 to 8.5 or 8.5 to 9? I mean, he ain't worth much more than that, right? I mean, he'll make a couple of plays, but is it enough to really push your cap or change the dynamics of how you're paying out? And so I think there's the negotiation that they overplayed their hand to do it to a degree. And also just from a team perspective saying we may have other needs. So we need to keep cash reserves to make sure we can fill other spots as necessary.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Clowney, I wonder, does he really want to play? And do you really think you're going to get a lot more money if you sit out a year? I don't get his strategy. It hasn't worked. Nothing does. So that's the only part of it that makes sense.
Well, we had talked about this a little bit. I know I missed the last couple of days, so pardon me if I'm stepping on what you and Steve talked about a little bit. The Deion Sanders quote, I don't know how much you guys got into that. Now,
blank you NFL, I'm going to Barstool. That quote.
Well, working over at Barstool. But he had a quote that went out on Twitter and Instagram and everything this weekend that I think people purposefully misinterpreted to get a hot take out of. Or maybe they just read it that way and they had hot takes just for the sake of having hot takes, which would be nothing new. When he talked about players sitting out, remember that the machine goes on, right? It's a next man up league altogether. We've talked about that and I've raised that a few points tonight as we talk about perhaps spring football coming to fruition here in the college season. But for both college and pro, few guys can sit out a year and expect that the market doesn't pass him by, right? Le'Veon Bell was able to. He's a special talent. And he left $15 million on the table he'll never see again. In this unique circumstance, another guy's going to be, like, everybody's hungry looking for playing time. And now the practices and game plan and everything else go to include that new player that takes the opportunity because you stepped out. And nobody's faulting you for the reasoning that you step out. All right, not publicly anyway. Privately, you may be getting text messages. Fans are going to be fans and be mad at you. But the reality is the business of college and pro football, the next man up mentality is there. So you may come back, but the bet on, hey, I'm going to be able to come back and get a big salary isn't going to be there. You want to talk about setting yourself up for an incentive-laden deal? Holding out for a higher paycheck in 2020 and not playing football is the way to do that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Two people who must listen to the show. The first one, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. A day ago, we talked about the Big Ten and the Pac-12 pushing their seasons to the spring. And after the news today that the SEC wants to go forward and the Big 12 planning the same thing, ACC, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney said, listen, whoever wins in the fall is going to be the real champion. Well, if they play in the fall, they'll play in the spring. There's no way they can't. So that's the best news about today, is that if they play in the fall, they will play in the spring. Even if you think teams push to the spring to eventually cancel, if you get half the teams playing in the fall, which is about the number that want to do it now, we're going to get football for the fall, and then we're going to get a separate one in the spring, and it's going to be awesome. But the spring doesn't need to be March or April through June. You know, we said last night on the show, hey, the season in the spring is kind of loose. The season for the spring should be right after the first of the new year. You play 8 or 9 games, and then you have the playoff. Today, Ryan Day said, yeah, what that guy said.
I think that starting, you know, the first week of January would be the best way to go. You know, an 8-week season. And that way there is some separation between that season and the next season. You know, allow some of the mid-year guys to come in and possibly, you know, play a 2-for-1. You know, they get 2 seasons in 1 calendar year, which, you know, the recruits, I think, would be really excited about.
So there you go, Mike, saying the same things. He listened to the show. There's the exact, I even said 8 or 9 weeks, and then you play the playoff. I actually said that last night.
No, it's great in theory. Then the entire thing that has been the battleground for everybody of the student athlete and safety and everything, can we just go take all those takes, print them out, and burn them and have a giant bonfire and, you know, roast some marshmallows and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's have 2 seasons right back to back, finish, and then come right back to it. You see how nervous the NBA is about that. And a lot of the idea of pushing football from the fall has been the, we've got to think of the kids. Won't someone look out for the kids and their safety? And then you get into the philosophical discussions of, all right, if you're going to have a bunch of people on campus, as many of the Big Ten schools are, that you can have people on campus and running around, but you can't play football games, right? Sequester those guys in a single dorm or any of those kind of measures for security, safety sake, in terms of battling COVID-19, but you can have all these people on campus. So you've got some nervousness there, but the idea is that you're looking out for the safety of the kids, yet you want to say, yeah, hell yeah, we'll have a spring season, and then they'll go away for a month or two, and we'll be right back at it. They like the 2-for-1 idea. Like, wait a minute. And while I like it in theory, don't get me wrong, the reality is you're going to have a lot of, I think, your best players that have NFL potential saying on that spring, I'll see you. I'll show up at the car lot to sign some autographs, and I'll finish going to class and whatever. But otherwise, I'm training for the combine, and I'm out of here. So you'll have some young guys get some opportunity, next man up, as it were. But this is a statement, and as much as I love it in theory, you know me, the more ball we can get, the more football that we could see on our screens, sun up to sundown, because I'm the guy that starts at 9 a.m. and ends when Hawaii's final snap ends. I'm that guy, is that you get the whole safety part of things goes out the window and you truly show it being about legalese and liability.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Now, the other guy who must listen to the show is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Because a night ago, after Giannis Antetokounmpo gave the headbutt heard round the world to Mo Wagner, was very upset about Wagner, kind of a dirty play, a previous trip down the court in which he kind of backed into him forcefully, knocked him down, could have hurt his knee. He got upset, got called for a charge against Mo Wagner, and headbutted him. And we told you last night, yeah, this is going to be a 1-game suspension. They're not going to mess around with the playoffs because Adam Silver's never going to make a decision that's going to make the players not like him. And clearly a headbutting play like this is a multiple-game suspension. But with 1 game left in the bubble, they're not going to put them at the point where you're going into that first round series against Orlando and you don't have the best player in the NBA. That would make so many players mad at Adam Silver, and I can't have that happen. So what happened today? Giannis got a one-game suspension. He's going to miss Thursday's game, tomorrow night's game, the final game in the bubble for the Bucks. He'll be ready for the playoffs. Adam Silver clearly saying, oh, I'm just going to do this, and we're moving on. And clearly, Giannis being very apologetic afterwards, saying, I lost, man, I shouldn't have done it, also extenuating circumstances because Wagner did instigate that whole sequence with him. I'm sure that helped Giannis as well, but still, headbutts multiple games, but hey, the playoffs are coming, so it's just going to be one.
All I know is we found the key to Giannis in the bubble. Whatever the smack talking is that they're dumping out, as well as just kind of giving him an extra shove, an extra little elbow, and Wagner certainly had his moments here, is that you can get under his skin. Because he's been pretty much agitated. Now, I don't know if he just needs some more visits from home, and we'll get that situated when the bubble opens up and he gets to hug his kid and everything. But certainly he's frustrated. So there's one of your tactic. Hey, last guy on the bench, go get him. But yeah, this was obvious. I think, sadly, it was obvious, right? As you start looking to the playoffs, I thought it should have been more than a game, no matter how contrite he might have been. Because
it should have been, but you knew it wasn't going to be contrite.
But that's just it. It's the, all right, we're taking some notes from Rob Manfred. Don't penalize anybody. Keep going until they start saying whatever the hitting coach was doing in the dugout when they had that fracas with the A's over the weekend. Now all of a sudden you got problems. But actually cheating in the game, nah, who cares? But for Giannis, yeah, we'll get to see him in full effect in the playoffs. And come the end of the week, we will have everything sorted out in nice, neat rows, and we'll get into the playoffs. The East is situated, and Giannis and company are ready to defend. Let's go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, phone number 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, coming up next, a conspiracy theory I'm going to throw at you involving a big NFL star that you're going to go, yeah, no, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, you make a good argument on that. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And boy, do I have a conspiracy theory coming your way in a second. You're going to say, nah, I don't think so. Then you're going to say, oh, no, wait, that's pretty good, actually. Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. Every single time.
Hi.
By the way, condolences out to Joe Hayden, who accidentally, a crate of signed Joe Hayden Steelers jerseys were sent to Adam Pac-Man Jones, not by Joe Hayden, but a series of jerseys were sent to Adam Pac-Man Jones, who was so upset that he got these jerseys in the mail, he lit them on fire in his driveway and put them on Instagram.
Whoa.
He didn't like getting the Joe Hayden jerseys in the mail. He said, this is what happens when I get Hayden jerseys in the mail. I'm going to show you how gangsta I am. Whoever sent these blank, blank Hayden jerseys, all these blanks about to get fired up. And he just lit them all on fire.
The hell? I love it.
So apparently, if you have something you would like to throw away or have it burned, send it to Pac-Man Jones. He will burn them up for you in his driveway.
To go through one of our favorite Talladega Night quotes. Anarchy. Anarchy. I don't know what that word means, but I love it.
Sounds good when you yell it, doesn't it? I'm just going to burn these things. Joe Hayden said, listen, we have actually a pretty decent relationship. I would never send my jerseys to him. So he's like, what the hell is going on here, man? It's like
the biggest thing that happened, defensive back.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not like it was a wide receiver that had torched him a ton.
Yeah, just another guy.
This guy owns you.
Yeah.
And watch you flail in coverage against him. That would have been next level.
It's probably the most interesting thing to happen to Pac-Man Jones in like the last few months. So I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to burn this all on TV. Let me throw a conspiracy theory at you after the news of today. Cam Newton, two things happened. It was picture day for the New England Patriots, got a picture of him in his new Patriots uniform, put it online, put a picture of it up online on his Instagram account, in which he put a bunch of song lyrics on there. And he used a font that I can't stand. It's difficult to read. Why do people do that? If you want me to read something, don't make it so hard. But One of the lines he put up there is from a George Strait song that says, I'm not going to be around here very long. I'm here to have fun. And that's potentially an allusion to, I'm not going to be in New England very long, but I'm here to have fun. Piggyback on this, the fact that the Patriots in their workouts divvied up the quarterback responsibilities. The person to get the third reps was Cam Newton. Not the first reps, not the second reps. Third reps was Cam Newton. So again, tell me how this is going to work in New England with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, where Cam Newton has never had to earn anything, and all the reports out of Carolina were that he was babied and was never really criticized because he couldn't take criticism well. Tell me how this is going to work in New England. This gets to my conspiracy theory.
Okay, go ahead.
Obviously, the Patriots are not playing for 2020. They let Tom Brady go. They didn't replace him with free agents. They let all their best players go. They drafted a DB with their first post-Brady pick, who was a safety out of a D2 school. So you tell me how much they're playing for 2020. They're not. And there's talk about them tanking. Certainly, all the evidence is there. And if they do tank and go 2-14, a year from now, we will say, the evidence was there. Look at all the stuff. They didn't bring in any players. Didn't do anything else. But how are they covering up the tanking? Well, we signed Cam Newton. We thought this guy was a former MVP. He's been out there a long time. They didn't give him any money. They gave him no money, and they signed him the same day penalties came out that, hey, guess what? You're busted again for videotaping a sideline you're not supposed to. So we know you're still doing what you're not supposed to be doing. But signing Cam Newton gives them the cover that says, well, you can't say we're tanking it. We just signed Cam Newton. Cam Newton has as much a chance to be a Pro Bowl quarterback as he does being cut by week one. All right, he's not been good for 5 years. So it's doesn't matter to them. If he plays and he stinks, it doesn't matter. If they cut him, it doesn't matter. But just signing him is coverage to say that, well, you can't say we're tanking. Look at the high-profile star player that we signed, even though he's not nearly the guy he was.
Yeah, I think when you look at it on the whole, it's you for cash purposes, they didn't have a lot of room to go spend any money. There's people in the building and around that team that like Jared Stidham. Jury's still out. As you said, Cam Newton could become the guy and thrust his way into a Pro Bowl berth. He could also be gone because there's not a whole lot invested in him, a lot of incentives to get that deal done. So I love the George Strait lyrics. There's no question about it. That's fantastic. But, you know, this team in that division, could you see them still winning at 9-7? Absolutely.
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't, come on. Don't tell me that, man.
Look, the Bills, you like them on paper. Josh Allen, as much as I like the raw talent, it's still raw talent, right? Then bringing in Stephon Diggs cures some ills. Miami's still building. Quarterback, is Tua going to be able to play? Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know what happens. He'll play well for a month, and then, well, the interceptions start to flow. And the Jets are the Jets.
Yeah.
So the potential is still there, even with, quote, lesser talent, as i.e. they don't have the big name brand guys because they let them go due to age, cash considerations, or just wanting to flip the script. They could still win this division. Sorry, buddy.
Why do you got to do that to me?
You know,
we had a great show. You're back
here
after 2 days off, you know. Whatever you were doing in the middle of the of Joshua Tree, doing hallucinogens, and now you come back and you finish with this.
I'm the realist. I'm the guy that's got to keep you on point.
Twitter @ How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. My buddy Ben Maller is next. Fox.